America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Selegy and Teresa Salmon. Say hi to the good folks, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, yes. So this episode is going to be for May 7th, 2022. First show of the month, and you know, we were looking forward to maybe doing a show about, you know, the gains of the unions over the past week. That funny story about how is that one dude in the House of Commons that was over in the UK who was forced to resign because it turned out he was watching porn while they were conducting business. But then somebody, and we still don't know who, within the apparatus that is the Supreme Court of the United States, leaked a draft opinion that seemed to suggest that the Supreme Court was set very soon to overturn Roe v. Wade. Now, we're going to save all of that for when we get to it, because it's a bit of a thing, and there's a lot of little individual pieces that need to be discussed and put in context for it to happen. But suffice it to say, it has pretty much sent the Republicans into a extreme bit of panic, and it has unified the Democrats in a way that probably not even Donald fucking Trump could do.
Yeah.
We'll be getting to all that, because although that was the one major story everybody was fucking talking about this week, we do have some other stuff, including some news about Marjorie Taylor Greene and whether or not she's going to be on the ballot for the election this year. We got a bunch of entertainment news to talk about, and we will not be talking about, you know, the whole Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, because let's face it, you've seen enough of that shit already.
Yeah.
But just as an aside, holy shit, what a fucking shit show.
Right? And so many Mr. Hankey jokes.
Yeah. God damn. Wow. I hope the people that Amber Heard has working for her are not expecting to getting paid, because holy shit, fucking hell. But anyway, moving on from there and getting started, as we always do, we always talk about with the show proper, which is when we start off talking about all the shit we've been doing this week. And let's start as we always do. So Chris, you're always first on the list, so tell us, what have you been doing this week?
Doing some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As far as watching things, finished up Russian Doll Season 2,
mm-hmm.
Which goes very many places.
Mm.
Kind of ends up in a point of wrapping up the series.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that is it for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Because they deal with a lot of sort of trauma and backstory stuff and all sorts mm-hmm. of things. They go to a lot of places, so.
Mm.
And neat that they're bringing the grandma into that. I'm not all the way through season two, but I'm probably more than halfway through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go to some places mm-hmm. with the time travel aspect of that show. So yeah, that's a neat little ending. I think I prefer season one to season mm-hmm. two.
Yes.
Like the journey there is more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see what season two brings to it mm-hmm. for Nadia's character as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a good little show there. Another good little show that just came out on Netflix is The Pentaveret,
mm-hmm.
the newest Mike Myers show,
mm.
Project, whatever you want to call it. It's only 6 episodes, like about 30 minutes each episode. It is a show about a secret society mm-hmm. run by five men since the age of the plague,
mm-hmm.
that have been sort of helping to guide society and the world as a whole over things, and they have had a recent death and sort of bring in a new member.
Mm-hmm.
Ends up being a sort of brilliant scientist played by Keegan-Michael Key, mm-hmm. who's sort of not happy to have been brought into this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole fun bit where they're sort of realizing, like, hey, we're all just a bunch of fucking old-ass white men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, finally start to diversify, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Of sorts. And he sort of gets brought in. And, yeah, it's... there's that, and then there's sort of a whole bit with Mike Myers' character that is a sort of a fun, kind Canadian man that does, like, a local TV show. Mm-hmm. Sort of the guy that gets sent out to do bits about, oh, here's like a convention that's in town. Let's go see what fun stuff's going on there and all this kind of stuff. And he kind of gets fired from that for not being, you know, somebody more relevant to the young people of the day. And so he sets off on a way to potentially save his job by finding, you know, a big story, and sort of goes to a conspiracy convention. Like, it's called Canadian Conspiracy Convention, the CanConCon.
Oh, God.
It's full of wild stuff. You know, there's a Alex Jones equivalent there running a show called, I think it's Truth Battle instead mm-hmm. of InfoWars.
Yeah.
Runs into this New Hampshire guy that is also played by Mike Myers, that he is a big conspiracy guy, you know, and all that, and is very interested in, like, secret society stuff in a way that is kind of wild. And Ken, I think it's Ken Scarborough, I think is his name, the Canadian Mike Myers character, mm-hmm. that gets wrapped up in this whole potential story about the Pentaveret, a secret society that somehow does not act at all like a secret society. Because there's specifically, like, this dude that just goes around as people are, like, supposedly starting to get close to finding out about it, and him, like, little business cards say, stop looking into the Pentaveret or something like that. Stuff that very obviously kind of makes it obvious what's going on. And it's a whole show that's, like, very much full of the Mike Myers style of cheesy, corny jokes and all that. And some don't land, others land pretty well. They constantly make fun of Netflix. Every start of the show, when they get to the intro, have the narrator sort of doing some other dumb joke, like, we're going to change this up so you don't hit the skip intro button, you idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of jokes. And then the narrator changes actors, voice actors, at a certain point. It's pretty funny. It's a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
For the few hours it is, it goes some places. And it's well worth checking out if you're able to deal with that kind of show.
Mm-hmm.
It is funnier than it has any right to be. Like, there's part of the Pentaveret is a Murdoch equivalent from mm-hmm. Australia. There's an old British dude also played by Mike Myers. I think he plays three of the five people in the Pentaveret.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a Russian guy that just... They have jokes where he is literally saying count, but says it like cunt.
Mm-hmm.
He says fuck us when he means focus. You know, a lot of jokes like that. And yeah, there's a whole fun bit with the Netflix thing where they go to a bar in America and the people they're seeing are just cursing constantly. And so the Netflix guy cuts in and is like, well, that's a lot more cussing than we usually like to have in a show. So let's just cut it all out. And then turns into a very, like, horny bit
mm-hmm.
of all these moans and shit. Jokes about having sex and that kind of stuff. Complete mm-hmm. with a mayonnaise bottle that's clogged and then gets unclogged and shooting this white stuff all over Mike Myers' character's face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, They do a couple more bits with the Netflix thing in there that's pretty funny.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's kind of one of those shows that maybe the trailer looks really bad, but the show itself is pretty funny.
Mm.
It's just not a great show or anything, but it's worth like the 3 hours or so it'll take you to watch it.
Okay.
So that's a fun little show there to watch. And the big thing I watched is the new Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm.
Not going to give anything away, but it is a very Sam Raimi movie. Mm. You'll see all the hallmarks of what you'd expect out of him mm-hmm. in this movie. And such, it is not a movie to show to kids.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people on Twitter being like, oh, I was going to take my 7-year-old to see this. And I'm like,
no.
What did you see at any point that said this would be kids friendly?
Mm.
Starting from the point of a, you know, a movie directed by Sam Raimi. Mm. Obviously, those,
you know,
the Spider-Man movies were not, you know, any sort of issue, but this is one about multiverse stuff and
mm-hmm.
people dealing with, you know, the mystic arts and all the kind of weirdness that comes with that. And
yeah.
People get killed in some wild ass ways that I don't know that's been done in a Marvel movie yet. and there's some very graphic stuff, even if they don't necessarily show that stuff explicitly. So that's how it kind of gets down to a PG-13, but it is a very hard PG-13.
Mm. Okay.
For that. So if they can handle gore and implicit gore kind of stuff, it's a pretty good movie that will buck the trend of a lot of MCU stuff because Sam Raimi does that.
Yeah.
He makes movies that maybe by its parts it's not a great movie, but by the soul of what you see, it's a very kind of fun and cheesy and weird kind of movie that pulls off what it's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can expect to see certain kinds of actors in it and such. So, yeah, it's... And I do some fun bits with the multiverse stuff, dipping into other things here and there. But yeah, it's a fun movie. Definitely worth checking out at some point. So yeah, there's a Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it for the watching things. I've been playing some games and kind of dipping into some older JRPGs.
Mm-hmm.
There's Trails of Cold Steel that I've been playing on my PS4.
Hmm.
The weird thing, I played a good bit on my Vita, but the trophy list transfers over to the PS4 version, so
mm-hmm.
I have no idea necessarily how far I am in it as a result. I think I'm still in chapter 1-ish. I'm on like the first field study.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at, but I've been enjoying getting back into it and seeing how much I remember of this. The game story here in the first few chapters. I think I have trophies unlocked up to chapter 3, completing chapter 3, so I don't know how far that goes in terms of the story, but enjoying it. It definitely feels like it does a better job of onboarding you than like Trails in the Sky does, where that is kind of very, very slow, kind of plotting intro, and throughout the whole game, that game does not move that quickly with anything it does, which leads it to feeling like as long as it actually is. But this one, they're moving along much more quickly, especially when they introduce the idea of like, oh, you get tasks every day to do. And they're like, oh, fuck it, we'll skip you 4 days ahead because we got other shit to do. You know, kind of doing the Persona thing, but not making you go through the more boring eventless days.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it really wants you to, but it does a lot of fun stuff there and character stuff, especially having the some of the free DLC that just gave me a bunch of stuff to it, the health packs and all that kind of stuff that makes it a little bit easier to work to get through the game early on, at least. Especially gives I have like all the casual outfits, so I can tell which characters I've been able to control because they all have casual outfits on. So it's fun when they're like, oh, I didn't notice all your kids were in, or I noticed all the you know, uniforms that you have on from your school, and it's all kids in, like, hoodies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elliot has an outfit that could be described as someone that barely wants into a ska band. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a fun time. Looking forward to putting some more time into that. The other one, Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Managed to get the big ship to start traveling. Then they get Pinocchio'd and swallowed up by a big whale, essentially.
Yep.
And so dealing with all that shit that goes with that. And yeah, some of the same problems I had with the stuff before that, where the map is not very easy to understand what's going on. Especially when I get quests like, go to this place. I'm like, where the fuck is that? And it's, if it's not a place that specifically when you can warp to, then it might be hard to figure out where that stuff is at times. And just seeing how there are not many fights that are easily won if you're overleveled for the other enemy. They just take time to work through it. It's just like 2 or 3 minutes versus like 6 minutes for a full fight if you're fighting somebody that's around your level versus under your level. I think so. Still enjoying it, but yeah, kind of working through that still. And that's been pretty much it for me. How about you, Teresa?
Yeah, Teresa, tell us what you've been up to this week.
Well, other than watching the news, in one word, kitten!
Yep.
So I think I had mentioned last week that that they were going to Kentucky to pick up a kitten, and they did, and she came back home. And she's a fucking adorable. A fucking adorable. I did that wrong. Yeah, she's really cool. She's like falls asleep upside down in your arms, like a little stuffed animal baby kitten or something. I don't even know. She's pretty chill. We were gonna keep them apart for like 2 or 3 weeks. Integration went really, really well. And you know, Sushi's tolerating her for the most part when she's trying to snuggle up to her, and Sushi's not that kind of cat. So it's going really, really well for the most part. She did try to get up close and personal with my fish, and I apparently haven't watched enough old cartoons lately. No, actually, I really have. But I forgot that that was a thing. So I was actually kind of shocked. excuse me. When I found her on the top of the fish tank. She's a little thing, and we're having fun with her. And she eats like, I don't know, like she has a tapeworm or something, but she definitely doesn't. So yeah, that's been a ton of fun. And she likes chasing everything on the monitors. So, you know, my kid and I are both having a interesting time trying to play while she's around. But as for gaming, I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14. For whatever reason, I'm in a big I'm in a big farming harvesting kick. So I've been doing that, just I don't know, just killing time or something. I haven't even been doing any dungeons. but I've got miner already hit level 80, and I took botanist up from like, I don't know, level 28 to I'm now level 60, so I'm getting there. And I've also been playing some Kingdom 2 Crowns, but not challenge mode, single player. We've just been doing a regular campaign in two player. So that's kind of cool. And last year for our 25th anniversary, I had pre-ordered from Limited Run Games, Zombies Ate My Neighbors. And we just got it a couple of weeks ago. And our anniversary is rolling around again in June. So that is the longest wait I've ever had for anything from Limited Run Games. You know, I've had like good 6 month waits before for production runs, but yeah, that one was really long. It was really close to a year, if not at a year, because I ordered it in advance a little bit. So it was definitely before June when I ordered it. And yeah, that game is fucking annoying. when you're not 19 anymore. But still, we're getting there. It's just that we've got to kind of remember our way through the levels and figure out where everybody is that needs rescuing. So that's kind of it with games. And I had mentioned earlier, you know, that I was in Russian Dolls. I started binging that Saturday. So Saturday and Sunday, I made it all the way through season one. Loved that. Season two, I do agree. It's, I don't like it as much as season one. And then I was watching like, this fall's, Treehouse of Horror episode for The Simpsons. And they actually did a little shtick on Russian Dolls. So that was kind of funny. Maybe HBO Max. I don't know. It's streaming somewhere. So if you wanted to check it out, it's just the 2021 Treehouse of Horror thing. We finished up Picard Season 2. We have not started Strange New World. I know that that just dropped, I want to say yesterday or Thursday. That's the Captain Pike's series. And from, I do not read spoilers. You guys have known me long enough for that. So if I happen to have seen anything, you know, scrolling around on Imgur or Reddit or whatever, I would have just scrolled on past. But apparently Scott enjoys reading spoilers, which I'm just like, I don't get it. That's not how I enjoy movies or games or TV shows or anything. It just kind of pisses me off. But from what he said, Strange New Worlds is going to be the Star Trek that we've been waiting for. So I am looking forward to watching that, but I haven't watched it yet. What I have been watching is Gremlins. What? Why?
Ah.
Why? And I never did watch it straight through. So, you know, growing up, it was always whenever I caught it, you know, over at a friend's house who happened to have Showtime or something, or, you know, somebody rented it and maybe I went over to my aunt's for a little bit and watched some here. It was always bits and pieces. It's one of those movies. So I watched it all the way through and just laughed because it's totally a Christopher Columbus directed movie. I mean, it just, well, was he? Yeah. And then Steven Spielberg was the executive producer, right? I don't remember. Anyway, it had Christopher Columbus's name all over it. It just, it seemed like a hallmark of his. So that was kind of fun in an old school way. And then I also watched Kentucky Fried Movie, but I fell asleep right towards the end of it, which sucked. So I'll have to go back and pick that up. And I've been watching just an obscene amount of Seth Meyers, him, and of course Stephen Colbert, and just a lot of the late night people talking about this week's news.
All right, so I guess it's my time now. So really, as far as like what I've been playing, pretty much ever since Elden Ring, I finished that. I've just been trying to fill the void. So I've been playing some old stuff. I've been like playing Dragon Age Inquisition, which came out like way back in 2014, and fuck me, is it janky as hell. Obviously, you know, it's 2014, so 1, 2, 5, 6, 7. It's been a good 8 years since that game came out. And yeah, gaming has evolved significantly since then. It's still fun because the Dragon Age universe is a fun time to be had by all. It parts of it are very still kind of janky. I'm dealing, you know, stuff like, you know, people not showing up until a certain time. You know, the this was like the first like full Rome, like open world sort of Dragon Age game. And it was, some of the parts of it just didn't really fit very well and still had issues long after the fact. In particular, one of the things I noticed was occasionally you'll get like, you'll start like having dialogues like midway through, and the game basically has it so that, you know, it's like, do you want to input on this somehow? And it's kind of janky how it works. It doesn't always work effectively. There were times where I had to basically redo the thing one or two times to be able to get it to actually work, but you know, it's good stuff. You know, I've also been playing some other good old stuff like Quake and Dead Space, good stuff like that. As for like books, nothing much there. Music wise, nothing much there. I got the bargain bin sort of acoustic electric guitar from a pawn shop this week that I've been wanting to get mostly to use for practice and stuff. And, other than that, really just getting Mother's Day stuff prepared because we're doing, Mother's Day tomorrow and getting, food and all the family together and stuff like that. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. So did anybody want to add anything from there?
Yeah, all good.
Okay. All right, then. Well, then, with that, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And I'm just going to go ahead and do another factoid here because it's a little bit shorter than the one we originally had planned. But frankly, I'll save that one for another night. But all right, so real quickly here. I'll ask you, Teresa, since you're probably the oldest one here. Teresa, when you were growing up, did you have like puke green wallpaper in your house?
I am most assuredly the oldest one here. And no, actually, we didn't. Nobody in the family did, except maybe my stepdad's, my ex-stepdad's brother in the addition of the house. But I think that was paneling. But mm-hmm. I knew people who had it. But yeah, we actually didn't. We had some nasty avocado green appliances, though.
Yeah. Reason I ask is because, for two reasons. One is because, holy shit, that stuff was like really, really common in the 60s and 70s for some reason.
Yes.
I don't know why, because I'm pretty sure even back then there were people who would look at it and was like, man, this is ugly as hell. But that was just the thing, but there is one good thing about it, which is that as it won't kill you.
Yeah.
But there was a kind of green dye that could kill you back in the day. It was infamous, in fact, because it killed so many people, and it took years before anyone figured out what it was that was killing him.
Wow.
It's called Scheele's Green. It's also called Schloss Green, but everybody calls it Scheele's Green. It was a green, well, it was more of a yellowish green pigment that was used a lot in various materials. It was used in paint. It was used in, paint. It would be used for like, threads, fashions. It would also be used food dye, which, as you're about to find out, was a very bad idea.
Oh, my God.
So it was named after its creator by the name of Carl Wilhelm Scheele. And it was extremely prolific. In fact, by the 19th century, it had basically replaced all the older green pigments up to that point. So Scheele originally developed this stuff sometime in 1775. And over the years, it sort of slowly went out in the market and it ended up sort of overtaking all the others. Before, it was eventually overtaken by Coke Green. Now, there was also a variant of Scheele's Green called Emerald Green, or Paris Green, which was developed to improve upon the original. Now, Scheele's Green had a couple of issues with it. One of the big issues was the fact that it had a tendency to blacken over time because, it would eventually age and it would kind of crinkle up, and just it would turn darker and darker until eventually it just rotted away. But it would, it ended up going into a lot of things. Obviously, wallpaper is one, but it also was clothes and dresses. It would also go into sweets, such as green blancmange, stuff like that. But right around the turn of the 20th century, people started to notice there was a problem. See, do you know what one of the main chemicals in it is?
I think so, because I think I actually watched some weird show about dangerous history or something on YouTube, but I don't want to give it away, so...
Well, let's see. It was it had, amongst other things, it is known as a cupric hydrogen arsenite.
Yeah.
Arsenite being, of course, another word for arsenic. And if there is one thing you know about arsenic, it is hella fucking toxic.
Yep. And people put this wallpaper in their kids' nurseries.
They put it in their nurseries. They put it in their living rooms. They put it on themselves because they would wear this shit in dresses and underclothes and slowly, slowly waste away. It would just, it was famous for the fact that, women would sometimes just be overcome and swoon, And they would swoon, of course, because they were breathing in arsenic vapors. There is at least one example of an acute poisoning of children attending a Christmas party where the dyed candles were burned. Because, they also put this shit in candles as well.
Oh, God.
But, and on top of that, it's also carcinogenic. Oh, my. And it also, could mold. Yes, it could produce mold. Which is just another.
Isn't that why people reported that the wallpaper would smell like mouse?
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, it is important to understand that the toxicity of arsenic compounds was not readily known back then. There are journals from the 19th century of reports of children just wasting away in bright green rooms, of ladies in green dresses swooning, and newspaper printers being overcome by arsenic vapors. And like I said, there is that one case of acute poisoning of children. And exactly how the wallpaper poisoning happened is some cause of debate. Like, obviously, they know that it was the arsenic that was doing it, but exactly how it did it isn't quite known. Some people believe that it was the dust particles caused by, pigment flaking. Others think it might have been just actual toxic gas production. It may have been a mixture of both. And it's even been suggested that Scheele's grain may have played a part in the death of Napoleon Bonaparte. Because during his exile in St. Helena, he resulted in which the rooms were all painted bright green, which was his favorite color. His cause of death is believed to have been stomach cancer, and arsenic exposure just happens to be linked to an increased risk of gastric carcinoma.
Huh.
It also turned out that they analyzed samples of his hair, and they found significant amounts of arsenic within it. It also happens the fact that, he was exiled on St. Helena, which is rather damp, and so it's likely that there was fungus growing in the walls. Though it should also be pointed out that there's also suggested that the reason there's so much arsenic in his body was because of early attempts to try and preserve it. But
yeah.
Both explanations can fly, so it's not really particularly known which one. But yeah, that's Scheele's grain, the dye that could kill you. Like I said, eventually cobalt green would come along, which not only is far less toxic, but was also cheaper to produce. And eventually it would just repeal Scheele's grain altogether. And, now we have only ugly wallpaper and not fatal wallpaper. And that has been another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Moving on from there, we're now starting to, the main portion of the show proper, which of course is our asshole and Heroes of the Week. And here it is, folks. It's the one thing everybody's been fucking talking about this week. Here we go. Somebody, we don't know who, it could have been one of the liberals, could have been one of the conservatives that's in, one of the, somebody that works for him. Hell, it could have been one of the justices themselves. But somebody leaked a draft opinion which suggested that the Supreme Court of the United States was getting ready to overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And the results were, somewhat predictable and somewhat unpredictable, I'll be honest. For one thing, obviously, some of the justices are pretty open about how offended they are that this was leaked and are now calling for it to be investigated. It is now being investigated. Also, the GOP, what you would think that they would do, because you would think, oh, man, this is something that, you know, they've been working over for decades now to do. You thought they'd be out and about dancing in the streets, but no, that is not what is happening. Instead, they're doing everything they possibly can to try and focus the discussion on the fact that there was a leak and not the actual substance of the leak.
Which is just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened is, amongst other things, people went to the confirmation hearings of some of the recent justices. Specifically, the justices that ended up siding with the opinion to overturn Roe v. Wade, all five fucking one of them said that Roe was precedent that they respect.
And there will be no fucking recall of them, unfortunately. Nobody's going to do jack fucking shit, even though they fucking lied, and they shouldn't be on the fucking bench.
Nope.
Sorry.
No, they did not. Now, the thing is, we kind of all predicted, at least somewhat, kind of knew that this was that was going to happen.
Yep.
Considering that, you know, pretty much all the recent members of the court, you know, with the exception of the most recent, are all members of the Federalist Society, which pretty much created this whole strategy specifically to overturn Roe v. Wade this way. And we kind of figured that what they were probably going to do is they were going to last day of the current session, just so that, you know, they could fire out this little announcement and then flee to wherever it is they flee to while Rome burns. But that is not what happened. Somebody leaked it. Now the GOP is kind of scrambling because, you know, they had hoped that this would happen later on, maybe after the midterms or sometime in a way that shaped the narrative. But now, you know, their, I guess, dastardly little plot has been foiled.
Yeah.
For the moment, and now people are struggling to be like, okay, they're like, shit, what do we do? Because it turns out the vast majority of the United States does not support this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a vast majority that supports abortions in at least some cases.
Yeah.
Maybe not a blanket ban or a blanket allowance.
Yeah.
But at least in some cases, it's upwards of like 80%.
Yeah. And now, well, I mean, you can sort of look by the way that Fox News has been reporting this. They're either trying to focus or something else, or if they're talking about it at all, try and focus on the leak specifically and not the actual substance, like I said. But it's basically come back to seriously bite them in the ass, because this has probably united the Democrats in a way that even Donald Trump couldn't do.
Yeah.
And even shaken the more moderate Trumpers that maybe still supported, you know, Roe v. Wade and that kind of more liberal stuff in there. But for whatever reason, you know, so into the Trump shit that they couldn't see that this was a plan for everything he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he talked about in the pre-2016 election. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, we need to punish the women to get the abortions.
Yep.
We just need to punish them somehow. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And it's like, hey, you guys should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
There's no sympathy for people being men. It's like the ones that voted to get rid of the immigrants, but not their immigrant spouse.
Yeah.
And it's like, how'd that happen?
Yeah. And as of right now, the Senate is set to vote on codifying the right to abortion in the next 2 weeks or so. They've already got it supported in the House of Representatives. They already passed that bill.
Yeah,
it's now going to the
two unicorns there.
Yeah. Now the good news is there are Republicans that generally would not go this far and are not as united on the subject of abortion as they would put it out there. So, you know, there are those out there that would, it ended up that, you know, those two ended up voting against it. The others could still vote for it, but it really shouldn't come to this. But
yeah, and everybody's favorite game show of hoping Susan Collins comes to her senses and it never fucking happens.
Yeah,
she
said no, because what about the Catholic churches or the Catholic hospitals? What about them?
They're private chair. Well, you know what? Fuck it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's like, well, then let's call her a bluff and put an amendment that allows that to still happen if that's really where it's going to go. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't for one second think she's going to be like, okay, I'm on. And it's like, no. Okay, where do you get somebody else from? And it's like, no. It's not going to be Mr. Yacht Boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Lady Dumpster Dress.
Mm-hmm. So with that news out there, that this draft is out there, a bunch of governor politicians are now kind of scrambling to get their own abortion laws in place. For example, Oklahoma Governor Stitt signed a Texas-style abortion ban into law this week.
Yeah, that prohibits abortions after about 6 weeks of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which is the typical one that these states do. I'm not sure if it's a trigger bill that would go into action as soon as Roe v. Wade is turned over, overturned. But yeah, it's let's see. It prohibits abortions once cardiac activity can be detected in an embryo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even fucking that.
Yeah.
Not even. You know, they make a really big deal when you go in and they do the Doppler and you hear the heartbeat for the first time. It's just a mechanical thing that is happening because of a barely developed promise of something that may someday become a human. You know?
The type of issue that I think Republicans are focusing on now was like endoseptic that like doesn't get to the uterus. Has to be removed or else the woman will die. It's like they're trying to ban even those types of abortions. It's like, this is a procedure.
Yeah, and I'm so sorry, but ectopic pregnancies are life-threatening to a woman.
They are many times fatal.
And, you know, and we all know that almost all the time, these are people who wanted to be pregnant. They wanted a baby.
Yeah,
and this
nine
is
times
a horrible
out of ten,
thing.
When one of those happens, to a wanted child.
Yeah.
If not, I mean, I would say almost 10 out of 10 it is when it happens.
Yeah, they're not doing it for fun.
No, it's an emergency last-ditch procedure that is not like something you do just out of the blue. It's there's a list of options. This is the very last one that you take when there's no other option left on the table.
Yeah. And all this shit is going to start making it so that hormonal birth control and IUDs and all these other things are on the fucking block.
Yeah.
And they never should be.
Yeah.
And of course we all know where this is going to go. It's not going to stop here. It's going to go to interracial marriage, you know, LGBTQ, everything, all of that, fucking everything is at stake here. Fucking everything. Yeah. And we've known it. Like you said, you know, we saw the writing on the wall in 2018. This is why we were all so fucking pissed.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's coming to fruition. And yeah, we're all really mad that it's happening. But I guess maybe we should have had a fucking game plan here. I don't know.
Well, also, I mentioned that Louisiana legislators, because fucking Louisiana, advanced a bill that would make abortion a homicide.
Yeah.
So they're going to have all these resources to investigate women who may have killed their baby, but they don't have enough money for fucking rape kits? Fuck them.
Yeah, and but just to put everything in, I think it's something we do. Here's what's going to happen after Roe v. Wade actually falls.
Yeah.
Now, at this, I do want to make some things very clear. We said that this was a draft opinion, and we do need to make that clear. It is a draft opinion. It has not gone into effect yet. Probably will not go into effect for a little while.
It's a long fucking draft for a draft.
Yeah. At this moment, abortion is still legal. But the moment that Roe v. Wade falls, there will be immediate restrictions.
Yeah.
11 out of the 50 states of the union all have trigger laws in place that will go the moment the opinion becomes official.
Yeah, like there's one on the books. More than that.
It might be like 20 something. Yeah. I can't remember.
Like Michigan has one from like 1850.
Mm-hmm.
1850.
Yeah.
How fucking out of date is that? We should not be legislated by some bullshit from 1850.
Yeah.
I do think there are going to be a couple of immediate ways to try to stop this. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a freedom of religion mm-hmm. lawsuit happening because at least Judaism
and Islam both have very yes. wide berths where abortion is allowed. And in fact, in Judaism, if the life of the mother is threatened by the pregnancy, then abortion is not only allowed, it is in fact required.
Yeah.
So I think
that'll be something that happens pretty quick.
Yeah.
As soon as this is announced and things start going into effect.
Yeah. And of course, there are a bunch of states where it'll still be legal. Unfortunately, that means we're going to have to start making fucking underground railroad type organizations to help women terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah.
It
helps that we do have laws in the books for the ability to travel between states.
Yeah.
Really?
But there are some states. Now. Yeah, but there are states who are trying to make it a crime to travel out of state to terminate a pregnancy. So, yes.
And again, that's probably going to be something that when somebody tries it, it's going to get challenged pretty quickly
mm-hmm.
To keep it from happening for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's one of them. But I forget, there's another case I was hearing people suggest should also be another lawsuit that should be happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a big one, the freedom of religion. It's
mm-hmm.
these are people try to push their religion, their particular branch of Catholicism or Christianity or whatever it is.
Yeah.
To force it on everybody else. And it's like, that's not how everybody else's religion works.
Yeah.
No.
Because at that point, you're basically going to have to say, yeah, well, you know, like, okay, a lot, of, like, let's be honest, a lot of them are completely okay with saying, yeah, well, we're a Christian country, so no Muslims allowed.
Yeah.
But that also means you're going to have to get them to say, yeah, well, Jews don't matter.
Yeah. And especially the way that people use the term Judeo-Christian values.
Yeah.
And such was like.
Yeah. Where do you think the Judeo part comes from?
Yep.
It's like, okay, you can't sit here and speak for other religions when you don't know what they allow or don't allow.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
For this whole thing, there is one part of this overturning of Roe v. Wade that would be immediately spark a downhill downslide. It is the right to mm-hmm. privacy.
Yeah.
That would be a big thing that is not, because like the whole thing with Alito's opinion that sparked all this is basically saying like, well, abortions aren't mentioned in the Constitution, so it cannot be allowed to have any sort of federal thing over this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's pretty silly. There's a lot of stuff that isn't mentioned in the Constitution because it was in the 1700s.
Yeah.
But here, the right to privacy would lead to some of these other cases that would potentially get challenged mm-hmm. and overturned. There's Griswold versus Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
Which concerned a nearly century-old Connecticut law banning the use of all forms of contraception. The challenge, which focused on married couples, was brought by Estelle Griswold,
mm-hmm.
the executive director of the Planned Parenthood League of Connecticut, mm-hmm. after her arrest for opening a location in New Haven. And yeah, and that's a 7-2 vote. The justice ruled that marital privacy is in fact protected against state bans on contraceptives and helped establish the idea that a privacy is a constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Constitution does not explicitly guarantee it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's Lawrence versus Texas, which is from 2003, just in case you want to know. It is involving a Texas anti-sodomy law mm-hmm. that banned two people of the same sex from having sex with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these two men were arrested in a 6-3 vote. The Supreme Court voted to strike down the Texas law, mm-hmm. overturning a previous decision from 1986 that had reached the opposite conclusion. The 14th Amendment's due process clause was central to the overruling. So that was the condemnation of homosexual sex, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's Obergefell versus Hodges, mm-hmm. which is the big one. Happened yep. during Obama's second term.
Mm-hmm.
That legalized same-sex marriage nationwide.
Yep.
This happened in Ohio. Jim Obergefell had brought the suit in order to be recognized as the surviving spouse of his deceased partner, John Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
The justice voted 5-4 to declare same-sex marriage a constitutional right, mm-hmm. citing both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yeah, the liberals obviously wrote the big opinion there. The conservatives, led by Roberts, wrote that the court had taken the 14th Amendment too far. The liberals' interpretation of the Due Process Clause, essentially that it guarantees certain basic rights that are otherwise unaddressed by the Constitution, had crossed the line into converting personal preferences into constitutional mandates. Roberts wrote, I guess you're still on the court.
Yep.
Roberts, so.
Yep.
Those are at least a few of them, as well as potentially interracial marriage and a few other things along that line.
Yeah.
That could lead us back to ideas like segregation and all that kind of shit.
Uh-huh. And if you don't think that there are some people here in the South who would be oh so okay with bringing back segregation,
you'd be fucking wrong, because yep. they are dying for it. I would say probably a good 30% of them.
Yeah.
Kind of sad, this, huh?
Yeah. And yeah, it's so amazing to see the people that were very much anti-vaccines because my body, my choice are now being against women saying my body, my choice as far as abortions are concerned.
Considering that's where they stole the
yep.
fucking saying from.
I don't have fucking time for them. Oh, I don't have fucking time for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
and especially because this affects, you know, a maximum of 2 people versus, you know, the vaccines affecting, you know, handfuls, if not dozens of people around you.
Mm-hmm.
So but, there you go on that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the night that this leaked happened, I was in a discussion. The only thing I had to write was 4 words, which was, there will be blood. And
yeah,
there is going to be blood. Just
yeah, and you got, who was it that was trying to be a smart aleck? Marco Rubio.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, how can you have pregnant people, but then talk about women's rights?
That's Marco Rubio. He has basically fine art out of making himself to be an idiot.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Matt Gaetz was like, oh, these overeducated women, that shit.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but keep in mind, this is Matt Gaetz, so like, his version of over-educated is any woman that graduated high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mad because he was making fun of, like, Bumble matches, and it's like, Matt Gaetz is mad because Bumble's age limit is 18 and up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can take his little ferret face and go stick it in the goddamn quicksand and die. He is yeah. just a fucking useless piece of trash.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of garbage people in this world, but him and Kaufman.
There was also the people that were going like, oh, pro-life people have never enacted any violence against, you know, pro-choice people.
Oh, fucking shit! There's a whole goddamn documentary that was made back in the late 90s that was about nothing but violence against abortion providers.
Yeah.
Called the Army of God. Look it up. It's on YouTube.
There are religious people that just hang outside of Planned Parenthoods.
Yeah.
Harassing women going inside other clinics, all that kind of shit. And that's just, you know, verbal harassment versus physically beating people, threatening to kill them, bombing clinics, all that kind
of
shit.
Yeah, don't forget all of the bombing of that happened in 1974. There has been quite a few of them, and they have got fairly large body counts as well.
They really do. It's when I was growing up, it was like every fucking month somebody killed a doctor and a bunch of other people in a clinic that provides abortions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a thing that's like when the Roe v. Wade thing happened, that it wasn't like a universal, this became a culture war just yet.
No, it was a very cynical political move by the GOP. Because it was
segregation happened and people kind of largely settled down on that to a degree.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what's the next thing we can get? Abortions.
And that's where they went.
Yeah, that's where they went.
It's been 40 years at this point. It's like about 1980 when they started harping on that shit.
It's also kind of the paradox. If they do actually succeed in making abortion illegal in all 50 states, then they have to come up with something else.
Yeah.
That's where LGBTQ people come into play.
Interracial
couples.
Yep.
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll just keep going until they finally
turn on each other.
Yes. Only one faction of this particular religion is going to be tolerated. And then it's going to be once again.
Within that faction, there's going to be a split. And then they're going to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so, because that's the thing about fascism. There always has to be an outsider that you have to focus all your hatred on. And eventually it devours you.
Yeah. If they keep getting away with this shit, the Catholics better be quaking in their boots because they'll come after them.
Yeah.
That's why grooming is such a big term right now.
Yeah.
CRT was, and there was gender dysmorphia is going to be a big term because.
Mm-hmm. And you notice they've been cycling through a lot of these record speed because they're desperately trying to find that new one that they can settle on. Because eventually all these other ones, they just stop. They either fail or it just doesn't have a big enough impact, so they have to move on to something else.
You know, it's almost like people who are addicted to consumerism.
Yeah.
In a way. You get it?
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah. And it's like, at some point in all this bullshit, one of them stands up and says, why don't we just run on our ideas? You know, low taxes, limited government, strong national defense.
Because they lost those ideas.
Yeah.
They lost those ideals.
Yeah.
They lost themselves.
Reagan happened and pushed them off the edge.
Yeah.
Now they're just running downhill as
fast. But anyway, we're going to sort of wrap up this part of it. For other thing, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because here we go with another asshole, he is wanting to contest the SCOTUS ruling about requiring free public schooling for undocumented students. Because the Supreme Court basically ruled that, hey, even if they're not documented, you still have to give them an education.
Yeah, you still have to provide that. And that's from 1982, so that's not a...
Yeah, that was during Reagan's term, so...
Yeah, so that did two things. It denied state funds for any students deemed not to have lawfully entered the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed public school districts to deny admission to those children.
Mm-hmm.
Abbott first made his remarks about the landmark education decision on Wednesday in the aftermath of a leaked Supreme Court draft that would overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
And now he is going to potentially try to get that to be one of the things that gets overturned afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, tough talk for a man who could be defeated by a flight of stairs, but... Yeah.
Who's managed to waste billions of
Texas
dollars and not gotten a single bit of negative press out of it?
Yeah.
I mean, he and fucking DeSantis seem to be in some kind of crazy race.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be the new Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know which one is more dangerous. I don't know.
But and our last asshole of the week is an Australian gentleman who was sentenced to 12 years in prison for killing a gay man all the way back in 1988.
Yeah, this was a whole thing. So this was the death of mathematician Scott Johnson that was initially called a suicide.
Yeah.
1988 because he had fallen off of a Sydney cliff.
Mm-hmm.
That was also known as a gay meeting place, and this man apparently like lured him up there to hang out and then pushed him off.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of got away with it in the 30-some years after that. But this sort of came to the police's attention because his ex-wife, I guess, had told them in 2019
mm-hmm.
that her then husband had bragged about beating gay men and had said the only good gay man was a dead gay man.
Yep.
But apparently he did not get, the Justice Helen Wilson said she did not find reasonable doubt, did not find beyond reasonable doubt that the murder was a gay hate crime, an aggravating factor that would have led to a longer sentence. She also said she applied more lenient sentencing patterns in place in New South Wales states mm-hmm. in the late 1980s, which this guy got, an extra 30 some years of life out of this, mm-hmm. while this other man did not. And he's only 51 now, so he could potentially only get 8 years and 3 months in prison before getting parole.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets off fairly light for what he did. And apparently has, admitted to his wife that he has beaten other gay men
mm-hmm.
about killing them, but it would not be surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was our assholes of the week, and boy, what assholes did we have. But,
God.
Yeah, we do have a hero of the week to sort of, I guess, wash the taste out of our mouths, because we found out this week... That some of you probably know Jen Psaki, who's the current White House press secretary, is, leaving that job because, I'll be honest, that is a very thankless job.
Yeah. Even in the
best of times.
Yeah.
And it frankly does not pay nearly enough.
And good job lasting as long and being as effective.
Yeah.
Has been because,
yeah.
Damn.
She will be replaced by Karine Jean-Pierre. Who will become the first Black woman to become press secretary, and also the first Black LGBT person as well, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah, so she has had some work with the Biden administration before. She was, she came to the Biden team from the progressive organization MoveOn.org.
Mm-hmm.
She was a top communications staffer. She was a regular on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
She's already led several White House press briefings, including when Psaki was out with COVID. So she's already had some experience, and especially on some of the tough days where the topic of the day was not one that they had much to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
So she's had to work with that kind of stuff. I guess one briefing on Air Force One, she accidentally suggested the U.S. favored admitting Ukraine to NATO before quickly walking it back upon landing. But she is generally well-liked among reporters and will provide continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Significant turnover expected in the White House press operations in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, yeah. Psaki's last day is May 13th, so end of this week.
Yep. Yeah, that's hope she does really well. She's got a very thankless job ahead of her. So, yeah. Yeah. Moving on, we're now going from the show proper to the proper show proper. And here we go. We start off with some news about British politics, other than the fact that, it was announced this week that Sinn Féin managed to get a majority in Northern Ireland, which means that they're going to start talking about reunification again in the next couple of years. That is a big fucking deal, as you can probably guess, but that's not what we're talking about this week. No, we're talking about a British lawmaker resigned after he admitted to watching porn in the House of Commons.
Yep. This was a whole weird thing.
Yeah.
That happened. But yeah, he is part of the Conservative Party.
Mm-hmm.
Member of Parliament. He is resigning after admitting he watched pornography twice in the House of Commons. in a quote-unquote moment of madness. As he says here, funnily enough, it was tractors I was looking at. I did get into another website that had a very similar name, and I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done. But my crime, my biggest crime, is that on another occasion, I went in a second time. Two female colleagues said they saw Parrish looking at porn on his phone while they were sitting near him. Conservative Party suspended him Friday for the allegations and said he'll cooperate with any investigations. And yeah, he is planning to resign as a result. Yeah, so that's a whole fun thing.
Yeah, British politics are a fucking... Honestly, they're more entertaining.
Yeah.
And slightly less infuriating, somehow.
I don't know. The way you see how Brexit, the Tories get to do whatever they want.
So well, yeah, that's true.
The way that they lock down how people can use their like video feeds of their various sessions and all that, that John Oliver makes fun of every once in a while.
Yeah.
Because if he features one of them on a comedic show,
yeah,
his like that segment gets blacked out, so he has to come up with some dumb thing to put in its place to protest that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because he likes to talk about how profoundly silly British politics are.
True. Good point made. But all right. Next up, Marjorie Taylor Greene will unfortunately be on the ballot in Georgia after officials ruled in her favor on insurrection case. I still don't like her chances, though. She is, honestly, I've been hearing some things from her district, and apparently not very fond of her, even those that voted for her.
Really?
Yeah, because she doesn't really do shit.
Yeah, she is the definition of a Twitter troll.
Yeah.
That's the largest she does. She just likes to yell out shit all the time. And also, the people in her district didn't have a choice last time.
Yeah, because her cohorts, her goons, or whatever you want to call them, basically threatened her primary opponent with death. So he was basically dropped out under duress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, the person that's going to be going against her this time around, I think, is going to be well equipped to deal with that.
Yeah. And honestly, I just can't wait for the fallout. Because it will be glorious when she loses.
Yeah. And I guess she got into an argument of some kind with Boebert.
Oh, yeah. The two women in Congress, you would think they would be... Nope, they hate each other.
Well,
they got into
not surprising.
Like a cat fight yelling at each other. They had to be separated, I guess.
Yep. Because Boebert apparently had an issue with the fact that Green intended a white national conference.
He's like, why didn't you invite me?
Yeah. You trying to steal my thunder, bitch? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just absolutely infuriating to see people like that getting the limelight and other people thinking that they represent women. No. They don't represent women. Well, I mean, I guess maybe there is a there's a subsect that they represent, but not one that I want to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Yeah. They represent a very ugly sect of women, especially like entitled, privileged women.
Entitled, privileged, middle class women.
Yeah.
That
have no class.
And very just trashy. Not because of how they talk or how they're dressed, but their behavior. Souls. Yeah.
Yeah.
And all right. So next up, Intuit will pay $141 million in settlement over misleading ads for free TurboTax filings. Oh, yes. I heard about this recently. Turns out that those free TurboTax filings, they're not free.
Yeah.
They actually charge you.
Yeah. They have a lot of go watch the Patriot Act on these things. They run through the different ways that their website stuff is like, oh, this is free, free. And then you start drilling in your details, and it's like, oh, you got this? Yeah, you should pay for that. That's $15 or $60 or $90 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the sites you would go to for that stuff are the ones where they use those sort of deceptive tactics. They conveniently don't make it easy at all to find the actual free versions of their like online tax software stuff to do it. And so this is sort of part of that stuff. So yeah, under the terms of the settlement, somebody, the attorneys general of all 50 states, Intuit will suspend TurboTax's free ad campaign, pay restitution to nearly 4.4 million taxpayers for that $141 million. So probably a good chunk of that's going to go to the lawyers.
Yep.
And so they maybe get $10 or $15 out of that.
Yeah.
Which is not enough, but
no. Reminder that assholes like Intuit are the reason why, you know, our tax system here in the U.S. is so goddamn difficult to navigate.
Yeah, and that the one that the IRS has been essentially shed of tons of people and resources over the years, and why they don't just send you, you know, your bill at the end of the tax season saying, like, here's what
you owe. And
here's what you owe.
Yeah.
Let us know if you think there are some issues, but
yeah,
for the most part, it'll be correct.
Now, in some states, you can do that.
Yeah.
But not in most of them.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah. Next up, Twitter and Elon Musk has been sued by shareholders over quick attempt at acquisition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a whole thing here. So, yeah, they're sued on Friday by Florida pension funds seeking to stop Musk from quickly completing his planned $44 billion takeover of Twitter. Filed in Delaware Chancery Court, the Orlando Police Pension Fund said that under Delaware law, Musk cannot complete the takeover until at least 2025 unless holders of 2/3 of shares not owned by him approved this deal.
Yep.
The lawsuit said Musk became an interested stockholder, taking more than 9% Twitter stake, requiring the delay. Twitter and its board, including Chief Executive Parag Agrawal, are also defendants. Seeks to delay the merger's closing until at least 2025. Clear that Twitter directors breached their fiduciary duties and recoup legal fees and costs. And also came out, who else is part of the funding for Musk's acquisition? And there are some, like, $1 billion of that is coming from Larry Ellison, the founder of Oracle.
Yep.
There's also significant funding coming from the Saudis and Qatar. And yeah, how much of a fan of free speech those countries are.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, are they investing in this because they want to get access to all that private data?
Maybe.
Of people in their country and elsewhere in the world?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, this isn't great at all.
Wow, this is even more morally questionable than it originally was.
Yeah, and he's put out like his plan for making them money, like somehow skyrocket the amount of people that are subscribing to Twitter Blue.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you going to do that?
Because
it's not very enticing at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be like a weird power user of some sort, and even then, you can get by just fine. On the regular tool set. And yeah, it's a whole bunch of things. He's like, oh, just do these like three things and boom, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, that's not how it's going to work. You underestimate how cheap people are. So yeah, that's the Twitter news for this week.
Yeah. Yeah. But, now we got a union update. Yes. We got a new segment now, I guess, because as you've all probably noticed lately, the organized labor is really stepping up recently, and it's making the whole corporate world shit its britches. First and foremost, Starbucks employees are getting some new benefits, but not those at unionizing stores. This is not surprising. This is a fairly common boss's tactic. During union organization, the bosses attempt to bribe all the other employees
Yep. And yeah, because they got a new CEO.
Yep.
Same as the old one, Howard Schultz.
Yep.
It's the interim CEO.
Yep.
Billionaire man conveniently doesn't like giving money to the people that work for him.
Yep.
Yeah, like some of these new benefits includes expanded training, improved sick leave, credit card tipping for some 240,000 Starbucks employees at more than 8,800 stores across the country, but not for those that are unionizing.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have the same freedom to make those improvements at locations that have a union or where union organizing is underway.
Yeah.
Well, that's convenient. Let's see. So I said all employees, including those at stores that are unionizing, would receive the wage hikes that were first announced last October.
Mm-hmm.
That'll begin on August 1st. Employees will either get a 3% raise or $15 raise, whichever is higher. And tenured hourly employees will get even bigger raises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have more than 230 Starbucks stores have filed petitions for union elections.
Yep.
And 50 have voted to join the National Union Workers United.
Yeah. And going with that, we also have this announcement from the National Labor Relations Board, who recently filed a sweeping complaint accusing Starbucks of unfair labor practices. No shit.
Yeah, the NLRB's Buffalo Regional Director outlined a host of labor law violations in a filing seeking reinstatement and back pay for the employees. Yeah, there's been Coffee Chain called the allegations false and vowed to fight them at an upcoming hearing. Starbucks Workers United, the group behind the unionization efforts, said the complaint confirms the extent and depravity of Starbucks conduct in Western New York for the better part of a year. Last month, federal labor officials asked a judge to force Starbucks to reinstate three union activists at its Phoenix location, alleging the coffee giant engaged in unfair labor practices. Yeah, where's the list of things they have done? Let's see. Do they not even have it here? Let's see. I guess just a bunch of stuff. Not paying them as high as they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not paying them for training or anything like that they do.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff that's always fun to see.
Mm-hmm.
And not giving them new benefits and raises and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
You get to nail them to the wall on this shit.
Yeah. And now from Starbucks to Apple, because there is now an Apple store in Maryland that has just begun unionizing.
Yep. They're going to join two other retail stores in their unionization efforts within the tech company.
Mm-hmm.
These are at Towson Mall in Towson, Maryland, have formed CORE, Coalition of Organized Retail Employees.
Mm.
Sent a letter to Apple CEO Tim Cook saying the majority of employees of the store support forming a union. In the letter, the retail employees asked Cook not to engage in union busting tactics. CORE joined forces with the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, industrial trade union that represents about 600,000 employees in the aerospace, defense, transit, and healthcare industries.
Mm-hmm.
The first ones were those in the Cumberland Mall outside of Atlanta.
Yep.
Apple Store, they were the first group. We're at the Grand Central Station location in New York City. And those employees have partnered with the Workers United.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, did anybody catch that bit of clip of Christian Smalls going to a congressional committee and basically handing Lindsey Graham his ass?
No, but I want to see it.
Yeah, so you guys know who Christian Smalls is, right?
Yeah, he was the one that got fired at Amazon at the early part of the pandemic because he was trying to unionize for better conditions for them.
And then he succeeded.
Yeah. Then he had a meeting with people, White House people, that's concerning like Starbucks, and Starbucks got all bent out of shape, sent out a letter, like, why didn't you invite us?
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff.
Fuck you, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was basically brought in front of some committee for, I can't remember what, and you know how Lindsey Graham is with this shit. He tries to get red as a tomato and then make a sermon or something, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this is the most radical agenda I've faced in my years of Congress. And then Christian Smalls, very calm, very collected. You know, it's very obvious the dude's not used to being a public speaker, but he just stayed very even-handed. He didn't take the bait. He just said, you know, Senator, this isn't a left thing or a right thing. This ain't a Republican or Democrat issue. It's a workers' issue. And he said, you know, this is, you know, we're the one, you know, without labor, there is no capital.
Yeah.
So, you know, he succeeded not only in making Lindsey Graham look the fool that he is, but he also increased his, well, he increased it, at least in my view, he increased his worth as a labor leader very exponentially. That was the end of the union update. We are now moving to the portion of the show. And first things first, Saved by the Bell is canceled at Peacock after 2 seasons. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. Bit of a shame because I've heard some good things about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's maybe not a show that's destined to catch on, but better than any other Saved by the Bell stuff they did after the first show.
Yeah.
Like the college years and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, yeah, nobody gives a shit about them in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much like the reason why Boy Meets World stopped after high school.
Yeah.
They were in college for a bit.
And then wasn't there like a spinoff where like...
It was a follow-up called Girl Meets World. It was Topanga and what's-his-face's daughter.
Yeah, and then like one of them, like the dude ended up becoming a teacher or something. And it flopped, I think.
I think it did all right because it went for like 4 seasons, something like that.
Yeah.
But it ran out of steam, I think.
Saved by the Bell, gone after 2 seasons. Next up, NBC has ordered a sequel series, Sleep. Wow, that is a title I have not heard in a long-ass time.
Yeah, it's going to center around Dr. Ben's Song,
mm-hmm.
a new character played by Raymond Lee, who's described as a world-renowned physicist and a man of faith. 30 years after Dr. Sam Beckett, you know, played by Scott Bakula,
mm-hmm.
a new team has been assembled to restart the project in the hopes of understanding the mysteries behind the machine
mm-hmm.
and the man who created it. Because, yeah, I believe the original series ends with him not getting back to his original body or timeline or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll find him.
Maybe finally. Can we end this story, goddammit?
Or this new guy finds him.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Like, fuck you, I took all your shit.
Yeah. And now for some good news. Netflix renewed I Think You Should Leave for season 3.
Yeah, which Hooray. Is great.
Yes.
That show is one of the best around that nobody talks about.
Yeah, great sketch comedy.
Yeah, great absurd sketch comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild watching like old SNL bits on YouTube and seeing like, oh, there's fucking Tim Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? He wrote for them, occasionally appeared on screen, but it's you can see where he gets his sort of humor from when he's on that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. But yeah, it's some great stuff. I watch through that stuff every once in a while, and Netflix somehow makes it as hard as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some shows where it's like you go to watch season 1 and it stops for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like to just go on to season 2.
Mm.
Some really weird stuff occasionally happens on Netflix.
Mm.
The way they put together some of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas others, it's easy to binge watch from season 1 to season 8
mm-hmm.
in, you know, days. Yeah, that's going to be great to see.
Mm-hmm.
See what new kind of weird shit they come up with. Because a lot of those bits have made for iconic memes on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
With the hot dog guy saying, we got to figure out who did this.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, there we go.
Yeah. And next up in another thing from Netflix that is still going, Cobra Kai. Its 5th season will debut on September 9th.
Yeah. Yeah, looking forward to that. Season 4 ends in a really wild
mm-hmm.
cliffhanger
mm-hmm.
of sorts, so definitely do not watch any trailers for the season if you haven't caught up.
Yeah.
Because it might confuse you or spoil things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, definitely do watch from wherever you left off, or just start from the beginning again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be here in 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that'll be happening. Next up, we got some stuff from Marvel. John Watts, director of the Fantastic Four movie. God, that franchise can just never get a break when it comes to movies, can it?
No.
Yeah, but this guy has had a lot on his plate because he did all three of the Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just been kind of working on that stuff pretty quickly over the past, like, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
On that stuff, so it seems like that is kind of the impetus for him to step away for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's just kind of ready to take a rest mm-hmm. for a bit, and maybe come back at another time. But yeah, Fantastic Four could be a pretty cool thing if they get the right person to lead that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm. But let's see, what else? Oh, yeah, we got some trailers. We got the official trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi for Disney Plus.
Yeah. That looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
It might be another case of, why do we need to know more about what he did?
Mm-hmm.
Also kind of injecting more Obi-Wan of him, like, doing stuff between episodes 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
That somehow, you know, this is like an impossible thing to expect, like somehow to expect like the original episode 4, like that Obi-Wan to somehow have been anything more than just hanging out in the desert for, you know, 10, 15 years, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Obviously has him like sneaking back into, you know, Coruscant or wherever he goes to carry out kind of secretive Jedi business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's the whole thing. But, yeah, that starts here pretty soon, I think.
I think, like, the 25th of this month or something?
27th, May 27th.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a limited series, so I'm assuming, like, 6 to 8 episodes.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But, yeah, you have Hayden Christensen back as Darth Vader.
Wow.
There you mm-hmm. go.
Oh boy!
Get a better reception than all the bags
originally
with the original series, because that wasn't all because of him and the kid that played.
Yeah,
the first movie. That's George Lucas and the writers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was
because there were good moments in there, but
yeah,
well, I was just
George
like
George Lucas just could not get out of his own way. Honestly,
yeah,
yeah.
Episode 2, man, that is a movie that has like 2 good bits, and everything was like, oh, remember how good that space combat bit was? That was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we got a teaser trailer for House of the Dragon, and it actually looks good.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It looks like more Game of Thrones stuff, but with people with that kind of bleach blonde wigs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're Targaryens. They're supposed to look like that.
Yeah, but it just all looks fucking weird.
It's Game of Thrones. Of course it looks fucking weird.
Yeah, and then there's a dragon.
Yeah, and then there's a dragon.
It's like, yeah, we had dragons now.
No, they always had dragons.
Well, they died out for a while.
Yeah, and then they came back at the end of, I think, season 1.
Yeah, because she had her eggs that were supposed to be like extinct eggs.
Yeah, and then they hatched. But yeah. So yeah, it actually does look good. Hopefully, you know, the Game of Thrones handled the last 2 seasons.
Yeah. That'll be on HBO Max August 21st.
Yep. Yes, it will. And finally, we got a teaser trailer for Weird, the Al Yankovic story.
Yeah, and this looks like a nice kind of wild.
Yeah.
Definitely playing it very silly.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole bit where he's like getting into weird fights and shit.
Yeah.
him out in a jungle for some reason, like cutting down branches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And him asking for an accordion and like three of them come on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Radcliffe does a pretty good job with trying to be the very curly haired 70s, 80s mustache looking weirdo that Al Yankovic was back then. That was more of a normal thing then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
he was still quite abnormal then.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. That's weird seeing Daniel Radcliffe, a modern person, trying to dress like, you know, 80s Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this doesn't quite fit the Harry Potter kid. But also, I'm glad that he is, like, got no point where he can just do all the weird shit he wants.
Yep.
Because he did a movie where he was a dead body that farts.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing he did.
Yep.
And now he's Weird Al.
Yep.
And people think he's going to be the new Wolverine because he's ripped in this movie for some reason. Which is like, that would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would have a British kid be a Canadian Wolverine, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But that's going to be out later this year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For Roku.
Yep.
However you get that.
Yeah. All right. Well, then. All right. We're going to go ahead and bring it to a close then. I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us. Let'sweekenders@gmail.com. That's let'sweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there, just wait a few minutes. Once we find out it exists, we will sign up for it. So we are going to wind it down here. As usual, our thoughts are with the people of Ukraine and Russia. Our thoughts are also with all the women of the United States because of all this shit that's fixing to happen. Mm-hmm. And of course, even though we do seem to be in the transition phase where COVID is going from pandemic to endemic status, I would like to remind everyone, if you have not been vaccinated yet, I would encourage you so. And if you have been vaccinated but have not yet gotten the boost, and you feel like that's something that you would think you would want to do, do not hesitate. They're pretty easily available now. And yeah, we're going to end it here. Join us next week when we've got more insanity talk. Because we almost surely will. And yeah, that's the end for the night. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.